Ever since the beginning of the year, and we're still early in the year, we've been listening carefully to see what God may have for us all year long. And early in this year, He spoke clearly that this is the year of more than enough. And He brought balance to that word last week, because even though He is the God that is more than enough, and He will speak His name clearly to us this year, Jehovah Jireh, He's the one who provides well for His children, El Shaddai, literally the God who is more than enough. But it's not about finances only. That's a small portion. And we've looked at how God can increase, how He can be the God that's more than enough. We need more. We need more deliverance. We need more healing. We need more love. We need more joy. We need more peace. Just how much more can God bless us this year? And we learned that in the case of Job, who suffered more loss more quickly than anybody else in the history of the world, but before the story was finished, God had blessed Job double. God paid Job double for his trouble. So God can bless us at least doubly this year. He's more than enough. Then we looked at the 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold return. It's possible for God to increase you in whatever area of deficiency you may have in your life 100 times more. As we began digging deeper, we discovered Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse 11, where it speaks clearly in God's word that He can multiply you 1,000 times more. How about that? 1,000 times more love, peace, joy, even provision, even though that's not the most important thing. We thought that would be good enough, God blessing us 1,000 times more. But then we looked at the miracle of the loaves and fishes, and we saw in Scripture where Jesus can take just enough for one person for one day. He can bless it and multiply it 5,000 times more. Don't curse what little bit you have in your hand. God can multiply, and this is the year of more than enough. And God spoke clearly, as we've been pressing into this revelation for the year, out of Matthew chapter 6, 33. It's the foundation from which we will begin today. Jesus said, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." Seek first the kingdom. Now, this was in the context and a discourse of Jesus talking about how He will provide your needs, your clothing, your food, your shelter, but then He wrapped it all up. Don't get up in the morning and be quick to seek after things, provision. Seek provider first. And then all these provisions will simply be added to you. I'm talking this morning about only one most important thing. Only one most important thing. Now, we're going to show a 2-minute video clip here to prove a point. It's from the movie City Slickers, and Jack Palance won an Oscar for playing Curly. I remember at the Academy Awards, I was watching it on television, and when they called his name out, he had won the Oscar for his performance in this movie. He was 77, I believe, at the time, and he got on stage and dropped to the stage floor and did about 10 one-arm push-ups. Well, I don't know if you remember that. Now, there's a couple of bad words in this clip, and realizing that it is Sunday morning, we deleted the expletives. We've cleaned it up for you because it is Sunday morning, Kill the lights and listen carefully for the point here. Oh, well, aren't you grateful we deleted the expletives? But you'll have life figured out when you finally realize what the one thing is. And there's only one most important thing, and that's seeking the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else has a way of falling into place if we can just get this one most important thing right. Now, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, we'll read four verses beginning at verse 38. Now it happened as they went that Jesus entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. Welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." One thing is needed. Just one thing. There's only one most important thing. As believers, as soon as we discover and commit to seeking the one most important thing, then we've figured out everything we really need to know about life. Everything else falls into place. I bought this book a couple of years ago. I'll refer it to you, but you don't have to read it because I'm going to tell you right now the best things in it. I'm sparing you a couple hours of reading. I bought it at the Austin, Texas airport and read it flying home from seeing our grandboys. The reason I know that because my boarding pass is still here from Austin to Atlanta. It's written by Gary Keller, The One Thing, the surprising simple truth behind extraordinary results. And in this book, Gary Keller says, there can only be one most important thing. And he said, not all important things matter equally. That's important. There is more than one important thing, but there's only one most important. It's not comparative, it's superlative. Only one most important thing. And if you'll listen to the wording Jesus gives us, seek first the kingdom. He did not say, seek only. He realizes that there are many important things that require our attention. He didn't say seek only, but he did say seek first. Because not all important things matter equally. And in this book, the author busts the myth of multitasking. Now, I'm all right with multitasking. I like to do two or three things at the same time. But he drives the point home that you can only really do one thing well, one thing at a time. And he says that high multitaskers often drift into irrelevancy. He says activity is often unrelated to productivity. And he says this, documented in the book right here, I'm not making this up. He said, for the average person, there are 4,000 thoughts every day coming in and out of our heads. And he said, that means every 14 seconds, we have an invitation to change directions. So many distractions. Now, if you think Martha had distractions, she didn't have social media, Facebook, an iPad, an iPhone. We have a whole lot more opportunities in our day to be distracted away from the only most important thing than she did in her day. And Martha sought to prove her value by her performance. And she's the model of a victim mentality. She was sick and didn't know it. The New Living Translation says, Martha said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits here while I do all the work? Have you ever wanted to go to the Lord and suggest to him in conversation, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that somebody else is doing something and leaving me to do the work by myself? But Mary understood that presence came first before performance. Presence before performance. Have you, like Martha in this story, who said, Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that I'm working my fingers to the bone here preparing a meal for you, my special guest, and my sister is not helping me out? Have you ever expected God to say one thing and you were shocked to hear him say something else? I have been a few times. I told you before about this one time. It's 25 years ago, maybe. I wasn't as old as I am now. I was younger in the ministry and zealous and ambitious, driven. Well, all those are okay as long as you have your priorities straight. But I had an unusually wonderful day in the ministry. I had met with people, prayed with people, visited the sick. I had, maybe cast out a devil. I don't remember exactly, but if I did, I enjoyed it. I'll tell you that right now. I enjoyed it if I did. And I just had a great day. It was full. It went by quickly. No dull downtime that day. It was a fast-paced day for a pastor. And I went to bed that night feeling so pleased with myself. I've told you this before. I was smiling as I laid my head on the pillow, reflecting back on the great day of accomplishments I had just completed. And when I laid my head on the pillow, I heard the Spirit of God say to me, you have not spoken with me about anything all day long. Presence comes before performance. We are to seek first the kingdom of God. We should not depend on our performance to give us right standing before God. Now, there is a balance here because I do believe in works. We're not saved by our works. Of course, you know that. But if we are saved and if we are people of faith, the Bible says faith worketh. And so we do have responsibilities as mature believers. But the first and foremost thing is to spend time with God. Enjoy His presence. And then anything He asks us to do, we do it from a place of being baptized and saturated in His presence. And then Martha said, "My sister has left me." A feeling of abandonment. You get out there and you do more performing for the Lord than you do spending time in the presence of the Lord. And pretty soon you'll burn out or burn up and you'll feel all alone, abandoned. That's what Martha felt like. My sister has left me and I alone am doing everything that needs to be done. Now, we should safeguard against a few common mistakes in our lives that we see playing out in Martha's life. First of all, Martha yielded to distraction. And oh my, aren't there so many today? So many distractions. Martha yielded to them. She was distracted by much serving. Now, if you're going to be distracted, serving is a great one. Everybody appreciates being served. Serving is a wonderful thing. Jesus was the model servant. We should be servants following His example. Serving is a wonderful thing, but we cannot be distracted from the presence of God, sitting and hearing His word early in our day, even distracted by serving. Martha, I believe, had the first clinical diagnosis of attention deficit disorder. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, even though I know some of you. Some of you don't even hide the fact that you take ADD meds. And some of the wives of the men who need it say, "God, please stay on them." When I run into people, and if they're ballistic or outside the box, and aren't we all sometimes, I've said this to people before. You're either on drugs, or if you're not, you need to be. But forgive me, that was being funny. I don't get a kickback from the pharmaceutical industry. So that was just a joke. But attention deficit disorder, we see it in Martha playing out so clearly right here. Martha preferred motion over stillness. She preferred noise over quietness. And she preferred activity over real accomplishment. They're not always the same. And what begins as a simple distraction can quickly put you on a path to destruction. It begins with a distraction. Oh, I will throw this in. It may save somebody's life today. Literally, please, if you're driving, don't be distracted by a text message. It is not okay to text and drive. My wife tells me that all the time. And I'm listening and learning. It's really just a moment's distraction could cost a life, yours or somebody else's. Just a moment's distraction. And Martha yielded to distractions. And if we're not careful, we will make that same mistake. When Jesus is right here with us, has something to say to us, has a plan and a purpose for our life, has charted a great destiny for each one of us, and we should seek Him first. He is the only most important thing. Other things are important, but they don't matter equally. He is the one most important thing in our life and seeking Him. And Martha was torn because of distraction by the tension between devotion and duty. Devotion to the Lord and serving the Lord. Being devoted to Him and being a servant for Him. All of that's good. They have their place, but we have to be people of priority, and we don't need to miss this point. It's the one most important thing. And if we can figure it out, like Curly said, we have life figured out. The blessing of the Lord's on everything we do. We can be active and clueless, like Martha was. Or we can be still and know. And that's the most important thing. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. She soon began feeling sorry for herself and got into self-pity. Self-pity. All of that began with a distraction. Then the second mistake she made is she gave in to frustration toward others. And in this case, her sister. Her own sister. Now, she was all vexed up because of her own distraction, and yet it was easy to blame somebody else, in this case her sister, for not being more like her. Frustration and anger toward others. That's a sign, maybe, that you've not only been distracted, but now you've taken it a step further than that. And with each step you take, you're getting further away from the presence of God, when that's the most important thing in our life. Martha gave in to frustration with her sister Mary, and she began nursing her perceived injustice. Now, nobody had done anything to Martha that was wrong. In fact, Jesus clarified that when he said, your sister Mary has chosen the good part, the only one necessary thing. She's chosen that. I'm not going to take that from her. If anybody's wrong here, Martha, hello, Martha, Martha. It wasn't a real injustice committed against her, but it was her perceived injustice. Now, if we drift too far from the presence of God on a consistent basis, then perception changes. And we'll begin to perceive things that are not really like we see them. That was the case with Martha. It began with a distraction, much serving. Here's the Lord right here speaking, right here ready for us to enjoy His presence, and yet we're busy, busy, busy doing something with our hands, thinking that's more important than the only most important thing. And the distraction led to frustration and anger, and she began nursing. And don't we do that? I mean, I'm better than I used to be, but when I had a perceived injustice committed against me, and I know you've had plenty, as have I, oh, I've been guilty of riding in the car by myself and talking out loud to somebody I wish was sitting beside me. I was setting the record straight. I was rehearsing and hoping for the day to finally come when I could really say it. It wasn't a big deal, except it was a perceived injustice. We get off into perceived injustices when we are distracted from the presence of God. And then Martha began finding fault. Oh, we're over into judgment now. When we're out of the presence of God, very long at all, distraction leads to frustration and anger, a sense of abandonment, nursing our self-pitiful, perceived injustice. Everybody's wrong but me. And then now we start judging Mary. You shouldn't be over there doing that. You're sitting still and idle. So much work to be done, and you're sitting over there just listening. Finding fault. She didn't even, and that breaks down into a relationship issue. She didn't even refer to her by name when she brought the injustice to Jesus' attention. She didn't say, Mary is not helping me. She said, my sister is not even helping me. And she ought to be. And many times, if there is a problem with us in any relationship with somebody else, it's a sign of something not right with our relationship and God. That's the case in Martha's life in this episode. Then thirdly, crossing line. All of it starts when you're not in the presence. You can be. That's the most important thing. It's the only most important thing is the presence of God. But we bypass that because there's so much to do, and then we are distracted. We're distracted just a little bit at first. They tell me that when a spaceship leaves Earth headed for the moon, back in the days when they were flying and landing on the moon, if the spaceship leaves Earth and is 2 inches off its target trajectory, if it's not corrected early in the flight, early, just 2 inches, just a little distraction. It wasn't that big of a deal at first, just a little bit. But if it's not corrected early in flight, it'll miss the moon by 30,000 miles. This is early in the year. If you need a course adjustment, it's not too late to make it. And still let this year be the year of more than enough for your life. And this is where she really crossed a boundary line. She began to question if Jesus even cared for her. That's self-pity to the nth degree right there. She said, "Lord, do you not care?" Now that's sad, isn't it? The one who loves us infinitely. And to even suggest or accuse him, "Lord, do you not care?" Even to call his love and his care in to question, that's really crossing a line. "Lord, do you not care? God is not paying attention to me. God is not defending me. God is not taking my side in this. I thought God would have shown up by now and delivered me. Where is God? God is not concerned about the injustice going on in my life. I'm not getting my due. And other people are doing by far less, and he seems to be more impressed with them. Poor, pitiful me. Lord, do you not even care?" We accuse God of not really caring. Imagine how God feels when we assume the worst about him instead of the best. He deserves our assuming the best about him. We should know his track record. But now Mary had a clue. Here was an opportunity, the Lord in her house, the Lord sitting and resting, the Lord calling for some stillness and some quiet. The presence of the Lord filled the house where Mary sat. And she realized right then, this is the reason I'm alive. There is nothing going on today, at least right now, this moment, any more important than this. This is a window of opportunity, and I have the privilege of sitting in the presence of the Lord and hearing his word. Mary made the right choice. Mary knew you can get more done in a flow than you can in a frenzy. I can just see these two sisters, Martha in a frenzy, working her fingers to the bone, thinking it was honorable because she was serving, and Mary still at peace in her core, just basking in the thick presence of God. And the Message translation says she was hanging on every word he said. Every word he said. In the New Living Translation, Jesus said to Martha, "There is really only one thing worth being this concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and I won't take it away from her. Only one thing worth being this concerned about, and that is hanging on every word you hear him say." This is something we must do daily. Daily. This is the year where if you are one of the church members or the believers or the Christians that get a weekly fix, you're going to have to step it up. Now listen, it's not too late. It's January. So, for those of us who are seeking God early in the year, it's January. We're on course. And listen, commendation to all of you here today. For those of you who are seeking God early in the week, it's Sunday, the first day of the week. So, two thumbs up, you are seeking God early in your week. But we need to shift gears and go to a higher level beginning now, and that is seeking God early in your day, every day. David said, "Oh God, you are my God, early will I seek you." He said, "My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and weary land." David knew where to go, and he knew when to get there. He said, "Early will I seek you." So, no more just 1 month out the year, even though it's the first month, it's early. No more 1 day out of the week, even though it's the first day, the Sabbath, and it's early in the week. But every day is a lifestyle, being a Mary, getting into the presence of God and hanging on every word. In Matthew chapter 4 and verse 4, Jesus said, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." The Message translation said, "It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of God's word." Now, there is no deficiency, no shortage of the presence of God, the Spirit of God, and the Word of God. We are by far so blessed. I guess I may have 50 Bibles, as you probably do too. And then on top of that, I have YouVersion on my iPad with 200 translations and paraphrases. We're so blessed with access to the Word of God. But it means more than being able to read. When you spend time in the presence of God, you take on the ability to hear. Jesus did not say, "My sheep read." He said, "My sheep hear." Unless you hear Him speak regularly, you won't recognize the voice and you're vulnerable. You may get off track, beginning with a distraction, and wind up following a stranger's voice. All of that can be cured once and for all if we make a commitment to hear God's Word early in every day of our lives. The bottom line is this: God is not calling for us to give Him a prominent place in our life. He is requiring that we make Him preeminent. Not simply prominent, but preeminent. There is no other God before Him. And we live our life that way every day. Not just prominent, but preeminent. And we seek Him early in our day. It takes more than bread to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of God's Word. And if we will press into the presence more than ever this year, this can be the best year of our lives. It can be the year God proves Himself to be the God that's more than enough. Would you stand with me? Everybody stand. I'd like for the men and women who serve on the prayer team to come and position themselves here at the front of the church. In just a moment, we'll give opportunity for you to receive prayer. And here's the way we do it. Some of the greatest things that go on here happen right now. If you're carrying a burden, if you're concerned, if you need the Word of the Lord, we release prophetic giftings to flow, the gifts of the Spirit of God to be real. We believe prayer can make a difference. It only takes a minute. And if you find a prayer partner that can agree with you in prayer, it changes everything. Bow your heads. Father, thank You for calling us together like You have this morning. Thank you that even right now, in this moment, there is a stillness. We shut out the noise. There is a quietness. It's so quiet in our spirit that we can sense you drawing near to us. And we welcome you into our lives, into every area of our lives. There has been so much loss in some of us as your people, but in your presence, even right now, we receive a replenish to the diminish that we've suffered. Thank you that a prayer of agreement speaks a clear word from heaven into the lives of your people. We speak to bondages and lifestyles that are bound by addictions and habits, and we break them in the authority of Jesus' name right now. We press in to you. It's the most important thing, the only one most important thing in our lives. So we ask you to meet with your people now around the altar. Speak a clear word, and may heaven and earth have a connection now that will change the lives of your people who are seeking first the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. If you have a need in your life, before you go out that door, come this way and receive prayer. God bless you. Have a great Sabbath day.